Shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful. Thankful that you have given us a morality that can comprehend enough of your righteousness to establish an unfailing faith within us. We pray now that thy Holy Spirit would walk among us. In Christ's name we pray. The title of today's sermon is Jesus and Me. I kind of wanted to come from an angle of how do you move from the status of a commoner to a princess. That recently happened, did it not? And what sort of a sacrifice was made on the part of each? The commoner had to do what? She had to get married, didn't she? And the prince had to be in love. I think I would rather be the prince and choose a commoner. Do we have a prince as a Christian? Do you remember what Isaiah calls Christ? The what of peace? The Prince of Peace. So if I am now a commoner, and the prince takes me as his bride, what does that make me? I move into a status of royalty. When you think about common things, like, have any of you heard of Miss Piggy? And have you heard of the, what's the name of the frog? Kermit. How can those two be compared as a couple? Would that be an immoral combining? Would it be any more immoral to think that I could become combined with divinity? In Leviticus 19 and 30, it says, "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." Usually, when you hear that text, you have somebody standing up here fussing about common conversations that are held within the auspices of a building. So I have always thought over the years of God's sanctuary being a building. But where does God live? Where? He lives within our heart, doesn't he? In John 17 and 21, Christ says, "The kingdom of God is within you." Can you imagine that? What has that done for our status as a commoner? In Jeremiah 31:3 says, The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. First of all, God makes it plain that he is from where? Everlasting. God has no beginning. Now, those of you with a bright intellect, explain that one for me. And he has no end. Maybe I'll help your intellect a little bit. You and I all have a beginning. But the choice has been given to us that we can be a part of this family who has no end. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? And when he says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee, indicates to me that in our commoner status, outside of royalty, we have no desire for goodness. And so the Lord draws us. The kingdom of God he's willing to place within us. Adam and Eve were created without the propensity for sin. If God had built Adam and Eve with the propensity for evil, then he would have put them on a slippery slope. No way for them to overcome Lucifer. So how do you explain someone without the inclination or propensity for doing wrong to choose wrong? To have an answer to that, you have an answer for the reason for sin. There is no reason, no excuse for evil to ever exist. God's still small voice speaks to us. And what does that still small voice say? This is what? The way. Walk you in it. If we will listen, as you said in your prayer, if we will allow God's Holy Spirit to rule our lives, we can hear him say, this is the way. He doesn't fool around with saying, no, that's not the way. The devil wants you to get tangled up in all the different ways. God only talks about one way. In my little commoner mind, I can kind of conceive one way. This is the way. Walk you in it. So, talking about Jesus and me, how in the world could I ever consider myself as being placed in that same phrase? Isaiah 45, 12 says, God speaking, I have made the earth and created man upon it. So where do we come from? How in the world did we fall from royalty to a commoner status? And will this princess in England or this prince in England, if they decide to separate, does she fall back into commoner status? Who knows how that works? But we come from someone who created the earth, and he created us, and he created it to be inhabited. We are special. Never, ever, ever allow Satan to keep pointing out your past sins. How many times do you have to repent of a sin? One time. Now he'll try to trick you and say you never did get around to doing that. Don't ever listen to the devil. So how long has God cared for us? Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you." What does that say about your importance? You know, I notice some of the people in the congregation, not just today, but in the total membership, they're here faithfully, but they're quiet. There's not a great big office that they're filling. But God knows us. He created us, and he has a plan for us. And if we read Isaiah 55, 6 through 13, you will find there that God is talking about thoughts and his thoughts versus our thoughts. But he says that if a man becomes wicked, in verse 7, he says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord." What does that imply? Let him return unto the Lord. What does it say? The Lord is willing to take us. Have you ever heard someone say, "I'll take it no matter what shape it's in"? I think about that when I think of a 56 Ford. Regardless of what it is, I'll take it no matter what shape it's in. The Lord says, let him return. Just because we have failed him, he doesn't get all puffed up. Doesn't get his feelings hurt. He's in the business of saving. He's in the business of forgiving. Do you ever have trouble controlling your thoughts? I know this little Indian back here was talking about that in Sabbath school class. How that the things that she knows she shouldn't do, before she knows it, that's exactly what she's doing. Anybody else here do that? And you don't enjoy it, do you? It's disconcerting, isn't it? Disconcerting. I was disconcerted for many years about the stuff that I would dwell on until the Lord showed me Proverbs 16:3. He says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord." And I thought, well, what in the world is works? And that's all the things that you choose to do, you choose to say, the places that you go, what you choose to read, what you choose to watch. "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." So there's hope. And that's a promise. So, lady, Proverbs 16:3 is your verse and my verse. When we fail, God also says, let them return. So we find that God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. And not only that, but he created man. And man became a living soul. He wasn't given a soul. And he created us from non-existence to possible existence, to possible eternal existence. In Ezekiel 33:11, the Lord is saying, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? To me, that implies that even though God knows everything from the beginning to the end already, and I try to convince myself when I'm watching the Braves and I know that they're not playing well, I try to convince myself is that this game has already been played because God knows the end and what the final score is. And so all I got to do is just kind of see what the score is. But there's more to it than that. We have a choice, even though God says that he knows the end from the beginning. And we'll come back around to that subject. In the beginning, man was pronounced as being very good. Now, are we very good today? How many of you classify yourself as good? You know, Jesus says there's none good except who? God. And yet it says to him that does what? Knows to do good and what? And doesn't do good, to him is wrong. So how can we who are not good perform good? That's by depending on God's Holy Spirit to lead us out of our darkness. So man was pronounced very good. And in the future, we will be pronounced very good again. Romans tells us that if any man be in Christ Jesus, what is he? What does a new creature mean? On resurrection morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, what? Together with them in the cloud, and we'll meet the Lord and we'll always be with him. At that point, you and I, as that new creature, will not have a history of sin. We have no sin. They've been forgiven. Otherwise, we would not be on that trip. We will indeed be a new creature, and he will once again call us very good, and it's all still based on his righteousness. The main problem with sin is that it separates us from God. And when you're separated from God, you're separated from life. What did Christ refer to himself as being? The way, the truth, and life. And when you look up the Greek on that term, life, it's Zoe. Zoe, the eternal life of God. It's not nephesh, which is our earthly life. We're living our earthly life. But when we come up out of that ground or we're translated, we will have Zoe, all of us. The eternal life of God. Our last day with God will never come. It's got to be wonderful. Wonderful. There is a text in here where it talks about in Genesis, and it talks about that says, "Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake." Now, when you do something for somebody's sake, what does that mean? How's another way of saying that? I did that for your own what? For your own good. I did that for your sake. So what would you say to God if he says something like that? Thanks a lot. God knew that we needed something to keep us busy and to remind us from which we had fallen and that his promises proved to be true. In Isaiah 9:6, it's referring to Christ. A long time before, when Adam and Eve had fallen, Christ had made a promise that one would come who would have his heel damaged, but that this individual would damage the head of the devil. And in Isaiah 9:6, this individual is shown as coming as a child, coming as a boy child, coming with the government upon his shoulder, and that he would be wonderful. He would be a counselor. He would be the mighty God. He would be the everlasting Father. How many everlasting fathers are there? And he would be what? The Prince of Peace. Where our royalty comes from. Our royalty comes from. And in John 1 to 4 and 14, we're told that Christ is actually God. So how do I put Jesus and me in the same sentence? It's because of his loving kindness. It was his idea to create, and it's his idea to recreate. And you and I, we were past the created part. We've already been created. Here we are, we can touch ourselves. But we want to be recreated, don't we? We want to be recreated in our mind so that righteousness is what we desire. Not something that we want to get over with, but that we just want more and more and more. And in John 15:5, Christ says that without him, you can't do anything. Well, I guess that's true, isn't it? I mean, something as important as your heart rate, can you make that thumper go? I mean, that's pretty important stuff, isn't it? Out of all the things on the earth that you want to do, is there anything more important to you than to have your heart to continue to beat? That's pretty important stuff, isn't it? A time will come that if we have to offer our life, then that will be less important, will it? What will be more important is to remain faithful to the righteousness of Christ. And he allows that. He still thinks of us. Now, there is a part in the Bible that talks about predestination. Any of you believe in predestination? What would that mean? What does predestination mean? That you don't have a choice? How can we get around that if you're predestinated? Depends on what you're predestinated to be as to whether or not your choice comes involved. Let's read a little bit in Romans 8, 26 through 32. And we'll go quickly. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And I've always maintained they should have put the word eventually in there, because sometimes you wonder how things are. Verse 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow. Now, did he foreknow us before he created us? What did he say about being in the belly? He knew us, didn't he, before we were there. For whom he did foreknow, he also did do what? What is that word? He said he did predestinate. But what did he predestinate? Predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. This is what we're predestined to be. This is God's idea for us. So can we choose to allow him to conform us to his Son? Certainly we can. We can be predestinated by God and with a choice to choose that predestination. We're not put in a box. God gives us total liberty. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I like that predestination. God's idea for me is to be conformed to the image of Christ. I choose that option this morning. And as John 10:10 tells us, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But then he says, I am come that they may have life, Zoe. Zoe, the eternal life of God. And that they might have it more abundantly. Let us pray. Loving Father, I don't know how large our heart is, or our mind, or wherever you want to put your more abundant life. But Heavenly Father, by your grace, I am humbled, and I am thankful, and I accept your death on Calvary, and I long for your return, and I ask you to create in each of us the hungering and thirsting for Christ's righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.